Zoe, here's the deal. Peter's always been a girlfriend guy. He put all his focus and energy into his relationships, and all his dude friends just fell by the wayside.
Zoe, don't listen to him, all right? I mean, we're 8 years apart. Barely grew up together in the same house.
This is ridiculous. Why is it weird that I had girlfriends?
Nothing. We're just saying you never really had a best friend is all.
It's Paul Rudd and friends starring in the movie I Love You, Man, billed as a bromantic comedy about a groom-to-be in search of a best friend and a best man. Male friendships aren't always the stuff movies are made of. According to our next guest, men have a harder time opening up to other men and sharing true intimacy in their friendships because of long-standing ideas of what it means to be a man.
Robert Garfield is the author of The Male Code, Unlocking the Power of Friendship. He says men are missing out on a lot when they don't have the skills to invest in meaningful, open friendship with other men. He's with us now. Dr. Garfield, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, glad to be here.
Well, you've looked closely at friendships between men and what it can mean to their relationships with their partners, their kids, and to their health as well. What are men missing out on when they don't have emotionally intimate friendships with other men?
Well, they're missing out on a lot, and the costs are great. A lot of research tells us that men do better with close friendships. First of all, they do better with their own health. When they have close friends, they're reminded to take care of themselves. And when they don't, they oftentimes slide, you know, the tendency for guys to be tough and go it alone when nobody, they're not talking to anybody about this, causes them to make fewer doctor's appointments every year, get late diagnoses, more complications. And the other big problem has to do with their relationships. If they don't have guys to talk to, a lot of the times they get into trouble in their own marriages. They don't talk about it, and they just withdraw in these situations. Contributes to the fact that 2 out of every 3 marriages today are initiated by women whose chief complaint is he's not emotionally available. So good friends really can help in that way.
You say this long-standing concept of what men are, the male code, is a big part of why men have trouble connecting in friendships with other men. What is this male code?
Well, the male code is a set of social guidelines that defines how men are supposed to feel and act. And when you check, the code has been enforced for nearly 200 years, and it really hasn't changed much. You know, it's associated with a kind of set of behaviors that includes emotional restraint and withholding personal information, trying to be in control, competition, and physical toughness. And it's some of this today. You played the that little clip from one of my favorite movies, I Love You, Man, at the beginning of the show. It seems silly by today's standards for men to just so rigidly hold to those things. But it's actually been kept in place by sort of a carrot and a stick model. For men who followed the code, you know, they've been able to sort of maintain power and privilege and prestige over the years. But boy, those who don't follow it can be in real trouble, bullying on the playground if you don't conform to the masculinity, the code of that. So it stayed in place a lot longer than it needs to be. But it's not working now for a lot of reasons because of changes in the culture.
Now, you surveyed hundreds of men and found out that, in general, they seem to be satisfied with the number of friendships that they do have, but they want them to be closer. So what is it that's standing in the way of closer friendships between men?
Well, we were actually surprised in the research that we did, which we launched in 2012, and we are just, you know, looking at the because we found that actually undercover, we call it the quiet revolution, that guys are actually opening up to each other much more than we thought, but they haven't gone public about it. And largely that's because the male code is still in place. But when you talk to men who have closer friendships and they don't advertise them, they're actually talking more these days about what they're really feeling. They just haven't gone public about it because it doesn't feel exactly safe. You know, as we see in the movies, the culture is still behind the times, sort of making fun of the kinds of depth in relationships that men are really wanting to have. But they're actually starting to talk to each other more. That's what we found out in our survey.
So supposing a man out there is listening and thinking, yeah, this is me. I want these closer friendships. I'm afraid of being mocked or shut down if I try to do this. What's the first step? How do they open that door?
Well, one of the things that we found is that guys do much better in person than they do in groups. So you can go to a bar on the weekend, you know, downtown Madison, and see a lot of guys yupping it up with each other and have no clue that one-on-one with some of these relationships, they're having a completely different conversation. And because in-depth conversations really are meant to be private, guys do much better when they're one-on-one with their buddies. And a lot of the times they're just simply afraid to bring things up for no really good reason. But the men that we work with, when we really kind of nudge them to take some risks with their guy friends, they find that there's a whole world full of men out there who want to talk in more openness, you know, just like them. So it's really a new world for men when they actually start talking to the men that they already know that they haven't really brought up these things with.
We're talking right now with Robert Garfield. He's a psychotherapist and a professor in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania and the author of The Male Code. We're hearing the case for why men benefit from close, nurturing friendships with other men.
And we want to hear from you. If you're a guy, do you have this kind of open, intimate friendship with other men? How did you get there? Or do you want that and you're not sure how to make it part of your life? Or are you skeptical of the whole notion? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
We're talking male friendship today. Our guest says the men he surveyed want closer relationships with their male friends. We're talking with Robert Garfield, psychotherapist and the author of The Male Code.
And we want to hear from you if you are one of these guys we're talking about. Do you wish you had closer relationships with your male friends? What's standing in your way? Or do you have this kind of friendship? Or if you're someone who knows a man, what's your observation? Do they make these connections? Do they allow this kind of emotional intimacy? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to a caller now. We've got John on the line in McFarland. John, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a friend like that. We actually just spent the opening fishing weekend in Hayward together. I guess the governor was up there too this weekend, but we have that kind of relationship. We drove up and back together. It takes about 4.5 hours. We talk or text each other, even if we're just driving by each other's houses. We try to write a text before we get there. We don't text and drive, but we try to write a text before we get there that says RBH, and that means a roll by high. And we just have a really good friendship, and it's developed over a number of years, about 5 years, different times we've needed to help each other, and we've come through for each other, and so it's just become a really good friendship.
John, I got to ask, I mean, when you're talking, is it all about the fishing, or do you talk about, you know, the personal problems, the issues in your lives? Do you share that kind of stuff?
I think he would say, too, that we find it beneficial to talk about everything. We've had each of us has had different challenges in the last several years, so we usually talk about those things.
John, thanks a lot for sharing those thoughts. Robert, is this a good model? Is this a model that you're hearing from some of the guys you're talking to?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that John's, you know, sort of story highlights is how guys tend to find each other and tend to develop close friendships through activities. You know, it's not just the phone call, but kind of being out and doing things together. And also where there's a private space allows for a venue for, you know, topics to develop. And men, you know, like John and his friend, you know, over a period of years, because, of course, it takes a while for trust to develop, so not everything comes out all at once. You know, the first fishing trip probably didn't get into talking about what's going on in his marriage or how things are going with his kids. But in those kinds of settings there, if men will take a little bit of a risk and start to mention something about what's going on that's important to them, they find that their friends will come and meet them. And that's the beginning of a good friendship. It takes time.
I'm curious what you think about the word bromance. It hit popular currency in our culture maybe a year ago. I'm not hearing it quite as much now, but, you know, given that you write that one of the obstacles to friendships between men can be sort of homophobia, what do you think about that word and that issue?
Well, I think that humor has been a real protection for guys. I mean, if you take a look at the shows on television about Friends, you know, there's a lot of kind of dopiness and humor that would make you think, is this somebody I would really want to talk to? It's almost as though we have to sort of go to the opposite end to make things so light when really they're that important. So at this stage of the game, a lot of the really important things are sort of wrapped up in humor to make it seem a little more palatable and a little lighter. It's one of the reasons that I actually liked the movie, that you guys played, because it really showed, even though there was a lot of humor in it, it really showed the difficulties that men often do encounter. The homophobia is one thing. A lot of the times, that the machismo aspects of it, I'm thinking of a situation, if I can share this with you. I was with my best friend today. We were walking down by the River Drive in Philadelphia, and we remembered a couple years ago when we were walking down there, and I had my sort of arm around him, and, we were talking about something that was going on that was hard in his life, and a car pulled up, teenagers, and just started yelling at us with expletives, homophobic expletives, and then sort of pulled off. And he and I just looked at each other, and we cracked up. I mean, we're both straight white males on one hand. And then on the other hand, I started feeling a little bit bad for one of my guy friends who's gay, has to sort of put up with that probably all the time, then. So there are a lot of obstacles that men really do have to deal with. Prejudices, social prejudices. Do we look like we're manly enough when we want to be close with each other?
Talking to Dr. Robert Garfield, author of Breaking the Male Code, about the power of male friendships. Back to our callers now. We've got Jake on the line in Waukesha. Jake, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
What do you want to bring up, Jake?
Well, what I've noticed now and kind of what I fear for future generations is that I don't see a lot of kids, little boys that have a best friend. And I'll be 35 years old this month, and my best friend I've known for 33 years. And, we've gone through everything from job changes to moves. In fact, I just moved him into a new house that's a little further away. But just to say, your best friends are the ones that help you move.
Jake, I'm going to jump in. Don't have a great connection there, but the gist, Dr. Garfield, he's had a friend for 30-plus years. He sees younger boys not having that best friend. Is this a generational thing that maybe could get worse over time?
I don't know if it's a generational thing, but the research certainly shows that, young children, boys certainly, as young children, having close friends is really, really critical for development. I mean, we know that friendships in general for kids predict school performance. They predict social success and later success in life too. So it's a really critical thing for boys to have. And in our research, the thing we found that was interesting was that when boys could observe their own fathers having close friendships, that they themselves were more likely to have close friendships themselves. So that the work that parents do with their kids in terms of facilitating them developing friendships is really key. Play dates, sure, you have kids, you've seen that, the importance of getting them together. Because kids naturally do make friends. I mean, it's really shown from the time they're actually in nursery school that kids will find each other. They will find people who are their friends even at that early age. So absolutely, being able to develop that kind of closeness is critical for young kids. We need to pay attention to that as parents.
Dr. Garfield, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Robert Garfield is a psychotherapist and a professor in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania. He's the author of the book, The Male Code.